Well, that was cool.
Haven't seen that in a while, have you?
I haven't seen that at all.
Well, yeah, that's our intro from like 2 years ago.
Oh.
We never use it for anything. We don't do a lot of video stuff. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IYW. What does that stand for, Matt?
It's your world. We just get to live in it.
Oh, God. We're doing the ad thing again.
Oh, yeah.
So this is our brand new, beautiful show. It's different. We promise. It's different than the
How
other.
How is it different, Aaron?
Oh, well, I'm so glad you asked, Matt. It's different right. Because this show is based around the worlds and creating the universes behind the stories that creators tell. And so every month we'll have a new creator on. It won't always be superhero. It'll be just, you know, what is the world setting and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So we want to be a show based around people's Kickstarters?
No, it's not going to be a show.
Wow.
Based on that. You know, Tier has one coming up. And if he had said like, oh, I'll come on in May, I'd be like, no, thanks.
No, you wouldn't.
No, that's true. But, like, okay, but yeah, this is not a show about campaigns and Kickstarters. You guys see enough of that. We wanted to do something that's productive for all of us. And Matt and I like hearing about the stuff that people do. So that's a way for us to do that. So let's do some house cleaning. First and foremost, Matt, why don't you talk about Buy Me a Coffee?
I don't know anything about Buy Me a Coffee, except we have one and you should go on it.
Yeah, that's great of you. That was,
I know,
thank
I'm
you
real
for
good
all
at,
that.
I'm real good. I'm real good at pitching. Hold on, guys.
God,
so buy me
such
a coffee.
A good co-host.
I know, right? I'm just here so you can bounce questions off of.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
The link's on the bottom, though. buymeacoffee.com/beardsandcomics. Guys, it is.
We changed
it's
it
basically
up.
Like. Yeah, we didn't Patreon. This is basically basically like Patreon and Ko-fi had a baby. And so you can go on there and you can just buy us a coffee or two, or I think up to 10 or whatever, and just be done. Just be like, here's, you know, some money. Or you can be a subscriber. And we have three pledge tiers for that that gets you guys exclusive merch. And to add on top of that, we're going to have a new monthly show called Behind the Red Door. For those of you that don't know, we built a studio and the door is red. So this is Behind the Red Door. So it's going to be an additional show for our subscribers only. Any tier gets you that. That's from the $5 tier up to the $25 a month tier. And then you get cool merchandise and exclusive items and stuff that we don't even give other people. So, you know, if you guys are into that kind of stuff, then, you know, go subscribe. buymeacoffee.com/beardsandcomics. That's us. So I am going to mention a campaign that's coming up. And I'm going to mention it because myself and our guest tonight are both involved with this group. This is Indie Comics Dispatch. You guys should know by now that I do news editing for them. Matt's done some covers for them. And then Tier, our guest tonight, he does reviews for them. And he's the co-host of their shows. So this Saturday, I think it is when they're launching their campaign. And it is to become a 501c3. So that we can do more stuff in the world of news and helping the indie comics community. So make sure that you guys go sign up. I'm going to drop the links in the chat as the conversation progresses. And yeah, so that's coming up. So make sure that you guys are looking for that. So let's get into who we have for tonight. Tier Jackson, you guys know because he's been on Beards and Comics podcast, but we're going to pretend that we don't know anything about his comic books or his universe. So I got to play a little dumb because I've read his stuff. So I do know a little bit, but conversationally, we're going to pretend we don't. So if you guys have questions while we're talking, make sure you throw that in the chat. We'll wait a little while before we get into those questions because we want to do some background information and all that. But you know, I'm from titles like Stars, that word that Brett can't pronounce that I can't pronounce either. That ends the second word with Stigmata. Cypher
is
Team.
Is it Ayamo?
Ayamo.
Ayamo?
Yeah, sure. Cypher Team, as well as a reviewer,
maybe
content producer, Tier Jackson from Sovereign Comics is tonight's guest.
I gotta ask, was that you?
No, that was. Well, I'm so glad you asked because my next statement was about it. Oh, that was ABCD from Pudge. Is the name of that band. Yeah, I might change it up every month and do like an indie band or whatever. I don't know. We'll see. We'll just make our own music. But what's up, Tier?
Nothing much. You know, like we were talking before the show, I just freaking got out of the office, like had to scarf down a burger. And now I'm relaxing.
Yeah. So, guys, that's the level of professionalism that we can bring to you. Yep. Tier's already drinking. I just worked like 3 minutes ago.
Cheeseburger and whiskey.
Cheeseburger and whiskey. That's American way.
That sounds like a restaurant.
Don't it, though? That would be dope. That would be dope.
So, like, Tier, Tier and I talk a lot. So It's only fitting that Tier is our first guest because we do talk a lot and have other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. One of those things is Friday night. Yep. Welcome to the detox. Yep. If you guys want to go dish on stuff, then come hang out with us because it's going to be fun. But yeah, that'll be on Instagram only. But you're here on It's Your World. We just get to live in it. So we're going to talk about all things Soverse related. But we're going to treat it like we don't know any of it because we do want to give people kind of the full background. This is definitely going to be for people that are either creating their own stories right now or are thinking about it. And I know that you guys will at least get something out of it in the sense of, that's some stuff that I need to be thinking about for the future when I start developing my own universe. Oh, yeah. Tier does a lot in his, more than most people. And so I was like, okay, well, let's start with that.
let's start with the hard test.
for sure. So let's start right off the bat, though, and give us kind of a synopsis of your current storylines that are going on right now.
Okay, so synopsis of the current storylines, pretty much all the titles, except for two, are converging onto one event. this event has something to do with things that are going to happen in Cypher Team Issue 3, of things that happened 10 years in the past, pretty much in the Sovereign Comics universe, in the 1800s. You know, the solar flares had, you know, pretty much belted the Earth. And when that happened, certain individuals, phenogenes is what they call it for phenosapiens, so they call it phenogenes, started activating. And to cut back to our older part, those phenogenes got into humanity because of a certain god named Sagittarius. So that's giving one thing away. That's the god, one of the pantheon of gods in my universe is a zodiac. So Sagittarius blessed humanity or certain humans with this ability to unlock gifts because there was a pending doom that was coming to Earth. So it was almost in a sense for them to protect themselves. So jumping back to the 1800s, solar flares hit, people started getting powers, all that good stuff. Of course, regular humans were afraid of these individuals with powers. Makes sense. You know, but after a while, everybody started living together and, you know, being all right with one another. You know, there were still individuals who were fearful and everything like that, but they kind of got past that. And the events now, all the books, except for two of them, are starting in 2050. In 2040, I'll just say a city got pretty much wiped from the map, pretty much wiped from the face of the Earth. And it was because of two phenosapiens who were fighting. And they pretty much destroyed this entire city, which we'll learn more in Cypher Team Issue 3. And when that happened, it threw everybody for a loop. So then people started fearing again. They're like, you know, they're that strong. They took out an entire city. Like, what? How? You know, what else can they do? So that shift between them, you know, that tear came back, and now we're moving towards this one event where one of those individuals in that fight pretty much shows themselves again. But when they show themselves, they aren't the same person that they were then, because they've literally seen the universe. So they come back with a different mindset, a different level of power to the point to where it's going to take a lot of different people to, you know, to beat this person for the second time. So that's pretty much where we're at now. With Temple High, Temple High pretty much follows the future of the Soulverse, is what I call it, pretty much. So the students, as they're going through school, learning how to use their powers, learning how to be okay in their skin and okay with their powers. Because a lot of those students, a lot of them didn't want powers, you know, and then puberty hits and all of a sudden they're shooting lasers out of their eyes, you know. Some of them didn't want that.
As
you know,
first of all,
who doesn't want powers? That's a lie. Like
everybody wants powers.
Okay, so yeah. the first wave of powers hit. You said 1800s.
Yep.
So that would, I guess, would be as far as humanity goes, the origin for. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I guess like the Earths.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I'll say, when the majority of humanity started getting their powers, because the solar flares pretty much activated that mm-hmm. gene, or woke it up, because it was dormant, but it woke it up. However, there is one person who is a Phenosapien, and they're the oldest Phenosapien. This character, I can talk about them a lot because they aren't being shown yet, but they're going to start creeping in. And I like to talk about them because I want to see if anybody will catch on to this character when I start. You know, dropping him in. But he is pretty much the what started the myth of vampires on Earth, is this main character.
Oh, okay.
So he was like known as, you know, Alucard, you know, he's Dracula. But the thing is, the cool part about him is he doesn't need to feed on blood, but he can control people with blood. So if he drops his blood into you, he can control you. So that part right there is true. I guess in the sense he can feed off the essence of the blood, but he doesn't need to bite a neck to drink the blood. However, the individuals that he controls, they need to drink blood, because as he uses them and controls them, they're losing blood. So they have to drink blood. The thing that I'm making it different is they have to drink blood that's their same blood type, and most of them can sniff that out, you know, because you better be
able to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't want nobody, you know, drinking the wrong blood type. They're just choking.
Oh, positive.
What is this? You know, so for them is more of a replenishing type thing, but that's kind of what fed the vampire lore, at least on my Earth, you know, in the Sobers. But yeah, he's a dope character, because he's the dude's freaking stupid rich. He's in the shadows of everything, like so much so that a lot of people don't even know that he's there. You know, he's funded mm-hmm. so much stuff, and people don't even know
that. So your world is a different version of our world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
We do that too, because people ask us questions like, "Oh, so it's, you know, all these superheroes, they're part of our world?" Well, no, because superheroes aren't part of our world.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
yes, they are.
They just flew by. What's kicking in the door?
Outside the window.
but yeah, and honestly, I kind of got that from, because I know they do that heavily in anime. I know, like with DC and Marvel, even though DC has their fantastical cities and stuff, you know, Metropolis, mm-hmm. Gotham, Star City, stuff like that. Marvel really, we want to keep them there. And with me, I was like, I kind of like that idea. So there's some cities, like you'll see New York, you'll see LA, but things are different. It's not going to have like the same individuals that you would see here. So like Cardi B isn't going to be running through the Soulverse. So things like that aren't going to happen. Not to mention Amandla, which is a country for Phenosapiens, is a floating island that just floats around the world, and we don't have anything like that, you know.
Give Elon Musk some time.
Yeah, give him some time. He is. Yeah, I saw something earlier. He's working on an electric plane.
That's dude, he's going to be hosting SNL in a couple of weeks.
Jeez. That dude, why? He does.
I don't know, but it's...
It's going to be the most dry.
It is. I can't wait.
Scientific. I don't know. He has a little bit of comedic chops. He was in Rick and Morty.
Well, you know, and the SNL is going to be writing it for him. It's not like he has to write it. So
exactly.
I'm interested to see the execution of it.
Yeah, I know.
Also, his monologue is going to be the most boring monologue.
Oh yeah, he's probably going to be like a minute and a half. It's going to be wild. I know he was in Rick and Morty as Elon Tusk in Rick and Morty season 4. So same guy, just with Tusk.
It tracks. But, all yeah. right. So we talked a little bit about vampires exist in your mm-hmm. world. Yep. Let's go back a little bit before that, though. So it's hereditary. Mm-hmm. Now, is it hereditary, but different powers are transferred? Or it shows up in different ways?
It for instance, if a parent has ice powers, that child could have ice powers too. So it's not everybody has a different power. Mm-hmm. But in the same vein, if the parent has fire powers, the child could have ice powers, you know. It just really, I guess, depends on that person's molecular makeup and what type of abilities they would get. The only ones where the powers are the same passed down, if we start talking about the magic side of the Silvers, because there's right. magical families. There's like 13 magical families. Now they're 12 because one of the families was booted pretty much because they deemed their magical ability too dangerous, which is soul magic. You know, they can control a person and transfer souls and all this other stuff. And so when you really think about all of that, it gets very...
I picked that house.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the house I would be in. You know, being the soul magic. So it's like, I only have like two characters right now.
Y'all are the villains.
So yep. they're just a family of toxic people. Got it.
Yep.
Yeah, got
pretty
it.
Pretty much.
Manipulation.
Yeah, I know a few of those. They live on my road.
Yep.
This is our world. I got you.
Yep. Pretty much. That's how they are. They control. They have no problems. There's two characters right now that I'm breathing life into. One of them already showed herself in Temple High. If you read Temple High issue 1, she was the one. Her name is Titulaya Kalu. She's the one with the blue and green eye, and she is considered her kind should not be. Like, they are not, and they are not supposed to be, because she is Phenosapien and she's magic. So she got magic from her father's side and her ice powers from her mother's side, who also use ice. So it's pretty wild. Like, there's that part in the Silvers too, that's like the hit under, like, the rules, like, if you are from a magic family, you are not allowed to be with a Phenosapien. Most Phenosapiens don't get told that, but the magic families, of course, get told that.
You know? Just like our world.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah. You know, so they're like, hey, leave that Phenosapien alone.
No Phenosapiens.
Yeah, don't bring no Phenosapien in my house.
In this house.
You're a what?
Pretty much, you know. And it's wild, bring too, because
look. Phenos.
Bring home them Phenos. Yeah, but it's wild too, though, because it's like some of them don't even care. Like, her father and her mother, that was another one of the reasons why the family got kicked out, because he married and had a child with a Phenosapien. But the reason why they don't want them doing it is because they said it's going to evolve the power level. So now you have this character who has ice powers and soul magic, and she does like this
and
really cool
9,000.
Yep, powers
over 9,000.
Over 9,000. Yeah,
that's crazy.
She pretty much can control souls, and one of the things she does, which I think is really dope, is she'll take a soul. Like, she has like even in the magic world, they have their wands, but I don't do the same thing like a Harry Potter, where it's a stick. It's just like something that was important to that person. So like for her, there's this 45 that was passed down. So she has that. It's not loaded or anything. Can't have her shooting kids in school, but so it's not loaded.
Whoa,
whoa,
whoa! Well, not whoa. Monetizing this episode, Matt.
Oh, my bad. So it's not loaded, but she can shoot what is called soul rounds. She can shoot soul rounds, really. So it's like energy, you know, soul energy.
Makes so people want to dance.
Yeah, make them want to dance.
Yeah, you got to shoot them. Want to go to sleep. Round.
Whatever she wants them to do, she can shoot them with it and make them give up. But she also has a familiar, and her familiar is her grandfather. So she's from Nigeria. So I've been talking to some of my Nigerian friends and stuff like that, how I'm going to make her grandfather, familiar. He's going to be pretty dope, like very comedic, but straight and all this other stuff. But like, she could take it's like, she'll make a ice golem and she'll put his soul inside of that. And then she'll have this big old ice golem and stuff that's helping her fight. So that's like one of the cool things that they can do. And then you have another character who's going to be in Stars. Her name is Marionette. She's actually the second cousin of Titulaya. And she has, she's the same way. She's soul magic, and she's a Phenosapien that can control, you know, that can make inanimate objects come to life. So she has a lot of fun. Like, she, but she's a villain too, so I'm going to get real creepy with her. Like, make her very, she's going to be very creepy because she likes to mess with dolls and stuff like that. And for me, like, I love horror, but I draw the line at creepy dolls.
Like, no, I can't hang with the creepy dolls.
Creepy dolls, no thank you. So it's like I'm putting all of that horridness into her with the creepy dolls and stuff like that. But going to that, like I said, one of the reasons why her family was booted out of the 13 magical families was because her father married Phenosapien. But the other reason why is because they found out that the soul magic individuals, if they do mate and produce a child with a Phenosapien, that child's going to have two powers, pretty much. So they were like, so pretty much when they kicked them out, they wiped them out. So it's really only like two of them left. Like, they didn't kick them out and say, you know, don't let us see you around here anymore. They wiped them. They did it like a gang. They killed them.
Gotcha.
So, but it's always, yeah. So
let's take it back even further.
I just can't stop thinking about my new band called Soul Magic. That's going to be like a horror blues band.
There you go. A
horror blues band?
Yeah. It's going to be dope.
That's going to be dope. Do it. I use your songs too.
There you go.
One of your songs will be your theme song.
Yep.
Yeah, we need to start messing with more music.
We
got all the stuff. We just haven't done it.
I use that.
Much going on.
I am. Yeah. I haven't been able to really draw anything. Like, that sucks.
Tell me about it.
I got so much going on.
Tell me about it. Lord.
All right, save that for Friday, y'all. I already know Friday. I'm gonna let Matt right off the top and be like, all right, you know what you want to say.
That's gonna be.
I already said it in the podcast.
Yeah, you did. We'll let you roll on it Friday. All right, so let's go back even further to how you started building the world out in the universe. So you know, taking yourself outside of talking about the actual story concept, but where did that come from? I know you said once before that you had been working on this for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And it, I guess in its initial stages. So what did that look like when you were actually trying to put together your universe and your world?
It looked tricky. It was odd in the beginning because I knew that certain things needed to be done, but I didn't understand the full scope of everything that needed to be done. The universe, I think I said it before, but I'll obviously say it again because we're on the show, but the universe was pretty much came into life when I was working on these stories for these twin girls who pretty much the way that I had them, I wanted to do a dark type of superhero-esque type story. And really, that was the only story I was thinking about at the time. And the name of that title was Infinite Rain. So I was writing that. I have, like, I think somewhere between 36 to 40 stories written for that. So that's like 40 issues already ready to go. But,
jeez.
Yeah, crazy, right? But
when it rains, it pours.
It does. You know, and I just kept writing. I was like, oh, that's the end of that.
Got to.
I just kept writing. But everything started there. And they were, like, in this dystopian future. Where everything was pretty much turned on its head, you know, like the villains won. Well, the villain, there was one villain in particular that won. He killed any hero that wouldn't come to his side. He even killed any villain that wouldn't come to his side. Like, didn't care at all. Like,
well, either, yeah, man. If you're gonna kill a hero, you might as well just
get rid of the villains. Yeah,
yeah.
And that's why
you have the competition.
Yep, exactly.
Right, obviously.
And that's what he was doing. So it was like, I'm writing this, and it was going to be a time travel story. So I was like, okay, they got to go to the past, you know, because their whole thing is like, we got to figure out what happened, because they knew about their parents. You know, they knew that their dad was this, you know, great hero. You know, but only thing their mother told them was that he died. You know, he died in a fight against the villain. And then eventually the mother got killed by the same villain. So they're like, you know, we got to go back. We got to figure out what's going on. What happened to make this villain rise to power like this? And how did all these amazing heroes, you know, just die? So when I started building that, that's when the world started creating itself, because I was like, you know, I gotta create their parents, you know. Okay, do their parents have friends? Okay, yeah, the parents have friends. Okay, were the parents, were they a husband and wife superhero team? Were they single heroes, or were they part of a team? You know, and then that's when I started building that team, and I was like, you know what would be cool? What if there's actual government that is run by individuals with powers, and they have this special forces unit of individuals with powers, and that's how Cypher Team became created, and then eventually Cypher Team title was breathed into life. And originally, their mother was on the same team as the dad, so it was supposed to be the mother, I'll say their parents on the show, but Regina, who's the dean of Sorbonne Academy, which you'll see her in Tipeee issue 2, is their mother. Rainus, which you see in Cypher Team, is their father. So Regina, Rainus, Madame Neutron, Kunoichi, and I think it was going to be Jordan. So those were the five that were originally on the team.
Okay.
Alchemy wasn't there. But she later came on, and when she came into, I pushed Regina out of the way, because I figured out I was going to do a school, and I was like, you know, it'd be dope if she was the dean. You know, I'll make her like this, you know, she wants to be a teacher. It'd be dope if she was the dean. Mm-hmm. And then I put Alchemy in her spot. And then after a while, I was like, what if there's more than one Cypher team? You know, there's more than one SEAL team. You know, there's more than one, you know, Army Special Forces unit, more than one Marine Corps Special Forces unit. So what if there's more than one? And then I created a Cypher Team Sigma, which their mother ran. So,
right.
Everything started building from there. You know, I started thinking about crazy stuff like restaurants and athletes and music. And then I was like, oh, it'd be dope if there was like a band that, you know, a well-known band, and they were also superheroes.
Soul Magic.
Yeah, named Soul Magic. Yeah. You know, I was like, it'd be dope if there was this band, but then they were also superheroes, and that's where Stars came from, that. So everything just kind of started building itself. Like I didn't force it. Like I wasn't like, you know, this has to be in it, because I'm pretty sure there's still a lot of things that once I start thinking along that line, those other ideas will pop up. Like I put a burger joint in there, named it after myself, called it Ty's Burgers and Fries. And that's because it gets mentioned, you know.
Yeah, Ty Fry.
You know, Ty Fry. You get a Ty Fry. You know, large Ty Fry.
I'm speaking in tongues. He tied a Ty Fry.
He tied a Ty Fry.
Now, how long does it take? So I know it takes a long time to come up with a universe, but like, when did you, like, how long did it take from like your first thought to where you were like, okay, I can actually make a universe out of this? Mm-hmm. And did you decide, is this worth pushing farther? Or have you done any stories where you were going to start making a universe and you were like, this just isn't working, I should just probably try something else?
I will say one of the stories for the last question that I did, was this story I did in high school called Adamonites. And I was going to try to build a universe from that, but it wasn't working. I'm actually going to try to find a way to pull them into the Sovereign Comics universe. But with this universe, I started writing everything in 2007. Really late 2006, actually, is when I started working on everything. And then really got the stories going in 2007. You know, you're deployed, gotta have something to keep the mind easy, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was doing a lot of writing, and then I don't think till like maybe 2008 was when I was like, okay, I need to start building the past, you know, because then that's when I got to those stories where they were actually going to travel back. And I was like, okay, I need to start building the past. So through 2008, that's when I started doing all of that. And then in 2009, I got to a point where I was like, okay, so what am I going to do? Is this going to be novels? Am I going to try to animate this? Like, what, you know, what happens next, you know? And
then you looked up the price to animate.
Yep. And I was like, nope, not doing that.
Not going to be animated.
Not being animated.
Let me get the post-it and make a flip book.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, so there was all of that. And then eventually I just like was just sitting there thinking, I was like, why not comics? Why not just create a comic book universe? You know, I've been reading comics my whole life, but it was like, that was the light bulb, you know, the aha moment. And then in 2010, like, that's when I figured out the name Sovereign Comics, after going through so many different names. It was going to be like Dismal Comics and So there's a couple other names too. The Sovereign Comics stuff.
Soul Magic Comics.
Yeah Soul Magic Comics. But that was the one that stuck, you know. And then a lot of people asked me too, like, where'd you get Sovereign from? And I'm like, well, you know,
it's a good word.
It's a good word. It's a great word. It sounds dope, you know.
And I flipped through the dictionary and I said, this one.
Yep, this one right here with my eyes closed. But pretty much what I told people, I was like, well, for what my mother told me, my name means leader or king is what Tyrone means, which is funny because there's actually an Irish king named Tyrone or Tyrone. So I was looking at all of that and I was like, okay, so because my mom kept telling me, she's like, you should just name it from yourself. I was like, Mom, Tyrone Comics doesn't sound good. I'm not going to do that. I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Hey, have y'all checked out the latest of Tyrone's Comics?
Tyrone's Comics. You know, I was like, I'm not going to do that, Mom. But her idea, like, struck this idea for Sovereign Comics.
Right.
And then I started looking at it, too, and I'm like, in a sense, this is kind of my own little sovereignty. You know, it's my own little kingdom, my universe that I'm creating. I was like, yeah. Yeah. Sovereign Comics, that's going to work, you know.
It's your world you get to play in.
Exactly. It's your world. Exactly. You get to live in it.
Yep, exactly.
You can put whoever title you want drop. In whatever office you want.
Yep. Matt just did the title drop for you.
I have in my – yeah, he did.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I have in my living room a Lego White House that I built, and anytime somebody asks me about it, I'm like, yeah, because that's the only one I can control.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, we're creators. This it gives us a world that we get to build however we want. We can throw in. It's a sandbox for all of us, and it's a lot like SimCity.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
I'm taking it back. It's a lot like SimCity for creators, where it's like, you know what,
I'm about to pull that ladder out of that pool. That's it.
No, not the Sims.
No, that's what I'm making.
Dark.
I'm bringing it back.
City.
No, the
Sim City where it's like, you know what? Today, a tornado.
Yep. Tornado day. Oh,
I was dark, just killing one person in the pool, but
now we're killing cities. Which I actually
would say anyone died.
Which I actually did in my comics. Thank God.
Oh God. He pulls the ladder out of the pool.
I pulled the ladder out of the pool. Destroy a whole city.
God. All right. So what rules exist in your comic book society?
So in a sense, it's kind of not a free for all, but I do try to. One of the things that I do,
Western superheroes, got it.
Yeah, pretty much is the Wild West. They're just doing everything. but one of the things I did tell myself is that whenever I create these heroes or these villains, I wanted them to be. To have weaknesses that were kind of normal type of weaknesses, you know, like I didn't want a hero to be deathly allergic to a rock. You know, I didn't want a hero to be,
the worst thing,
you know, held down because of the color yellow or, you know, things like that. Like
I watched Smallville episode one last night.
Oh man.
I forgot how violent that show was.
It was. Especially
that whole beginning section. Yeah, that whole beginning part of that show, I was like, whoa. Yeah, like, I don't remember it being this bad.
Very bad.
Murder.
Yeah, murder every episode.
You brought up the rock thing, and it reminded me of Lana's necklace. You feeling okay, Clark?
Mm-hmm. He's
like, I'm okay.
I'm okay. I can breathe again.
I don't think I've ever seen Smallville.
That's one of the reasons why, to even go on that, you should watch Smallville. I think you would dig it. But that's what
I don't like Superman. Yeah, I said it. I do not like Superman, but I think Smallville was pretty dope.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of nods to stuff that if you're not a comic book fan, like when he's flying in the helicopter in the beginning, he's reading a paper and the headline's something about like what's the name of that company? What's Ollie's parents' company's name?
Queen Industries.
Yeah. Queen. That was on the front of the paper. It's like Queen Industries' son disappears or whatever, and like Arrow has has only been out like 10 years or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, right? I mean, it has a lot of nods and stuff.
So. Mm-hmm. And it's. I think that's one of the reasons to go back to that. I think that's one of the reasons why I like what Zach did or what the writers and stuff did with Man of Steel, because they made it more of an environmental thing. Like he was in the atmosphere that he hadn't been in so long. And so his body got weak rather than hey, here's a rock. And then, of course, whenever kryptonite did come, it was because it was made from, you know, the terraformers trying to terraform Earth into kryptonite, you know, terraform Earth into Krypton. So that's why I kind of like that. But yeah, back to my characters. Mm-hmm. The reason why I was like, I didn't want stuff like that. I wanted them to have actual.
His are sick when they're around red rocks.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm in a red rock. But with some of them, like one of the characters, which is a character created by one of my friends, like she's afraid to go full power because the last time she did it, she pretty much blew up a restaurant.
She phoenixed.
Yeah. You know, she blew up a restaurant that, you know.
River?
Say again?
River Phoenix?
No, not River. She blew up a restaurant. And the crazy part was like she knew the old couple that ran the restaurant because she was kind of living on the street. And they used to give her food and stuff like that. And this cop approached her and all this other stuff and wanted to get out of there because she didn't have money and all this other stuff. But they were giving her food. And like she got scared, freaked out, blew up the restaurant to kill the cop and the people that were helping her. So that's the reason why she doesn't push her limits to the max, you know. So she has that PTSD, which is one of the reasons why she can't do that. Another character is Render from SARS, you know. I don't know if anybody's actually noticed it, but she has not used her powers yet in SARS. If you go back to her, everybody's used their powers but Render. And there's a reason for that. When Render bloomed, her father was abusive, you know, to her mother and stuff like that. And he came home one night drunk and abusive, put his hands on her mom. Render woke up out of her sleep and went to go tell her, you know, went to go try to stop it. You know, her dad hit her and her powers blew.
She came out the bag on it.
She came out the bag for real. She just pretty much straight up told him, you know, me and my mom don't need you. I wish you'd kill yourself. And this dude walked in the kitchen, pulled out a butcher knife and slit his throat because she told him to. And when she saw that, she was like,
definitely not monetizing this episode.
Yep, this episode. Episode 1. Everybody's like, what? Cyber Comics is that? We're that dark.
Buymeacoffee.com/.
You know what's funny, though, is like, you don't even think when you're writing it and creating it that stuff's that dark until other people tell you that it's that dark. It's like tilt stuff. Like, in my head's not dark at all. But then they're like, what are you talking about? Like, he was taken as a kid and, like, experimental.
Yeah, you know, like,
I guess that's pretty dark.
That's some dark stuff. I mean, you know?
Disney kills your parents as soon as you're a kid. As soon as you're born. So, like, I mean.
Well, hey, Disney now has a guy dressed as Captain America chopping a guy's head off with a shield. So, all things progress. It's good. Yep. It's a good show, y'all.
It is. but, yeah, that's kind of how I like to do things. Like, I like to give them. Mainly psychological weaknesses, you know, or emotional weaknesses, or even social weaknesses. Like, there's some characters who are afraid to use their powers around a lot of people, you know, and most of them are the kids that are at Temple High and stuff like that. But that's another reason why they're going through that school, is to learn how to get past those psychological, social, and mental blocks.
Yeah.
So that they can use their powers. But yeah, like once they, like even a Cypher team, like with Reynas, he for a while, he was, didn't want to fight. So he would kind of want to sit things out, or if he fought, he would do the bare minimum because it was bothering him because he didn't know how much his container could hold, which he's a kinetic based character. So he could absorb the powers or the movement or whatever that's being directed towards him and send it back, you know, 10 times stronger than what it was sent to him. But he didn't know how strong his container was, because there's been many a times where he was blown out of the container and he couldn't do anything. So he started reacting to that adversely, you know, kind of just being laid back and like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Until he started training more, and then he realized where his container could be at. But for him, he still kind of has issues of, like, deep-seated issues where he wants to be stronger, you know, than what he is. So there's also that type of stuff. Like, he's a hero. He wants to be stronger, you know, and, you know, that type of ideals, you know, can lead to certain things. Like, even with his daughter, she, the one who is in Infinite Rain, she summoned a fallen angel to get her powers because she was born without powers. Like, her one sister had powers, and for her, the other sister who had powers, she became incredibly arrogant. So, like, there's that too. Like, weaknesses for some people could be their arrogance. Damian also has arrogance, you know, because of who his parents are, even though he doesn't want to live under the shadow. He still has that arrogance of who they are. And then he also has that chip on his shoulder of not wanting to be under their shadow. So that mixed with arrogance, he'll do things that he know he probably shouldn't do. Like, for instance, at the end of Temple High Issue 1, he goes into his Gen Hunter mode. And he knows that if he does that, you know, he is familiar. Well, his source of power, which is his Gen, is going to go to sleep, quote unquote. It's like, you know, it's going to be asleep for a couple of days. And so he won't be able to really use his powers. But he did it because he was like, I ain't going to let her push me like this, you know, and not do anything. So I deal with a lot of things like that when it comes to like those type of weaknesses and things like that. So,
but yeah, it's more, it's grounding your characters to let people identify with them a little bit more.
Yeah.
So what's the main ongoing struggle in your comic book universe? All right, I know it changes over time or whatever, but so we can say currently if we want. So, what is the ongoing struggle currently?
So right now, the ongoing struggle currently within the comics are the Protectors of Mankind and the Angels of Anarchy. So the Protectors of Mankind, you can think of them as a well-organized, highly trained, you know, take no shit type of neo-Nazi group, I guess. But the thing is, they don't like neo. And this is the weird part. And I'm pretty sure people probably listen like, what? Oh, that makes no sense. Okay. So yeah, the Protectors of Mankind, their whole deal is they are there for humanity, period. They don't care what color you are. They don't care what your nationality is. They don't care what your ethnicity is. They don't care what your lifestyle is. They don't care what your religion is. You're human. We're here to protect you. But they hate Pheno Sapiens. They hate Xenoth, period. So Pheno Sapiens, Therianthropes, vampires, magic side, they aliens, celestial, they don't like any of them. So they're pretty much, in their eyes, they're their first and last line of defense between humanity and you know, the Xenoth. But they do it recklessly. Like, they, you know, like in Cypher Team Issue 1, they attacked people who were just doing the right thing. They were out there to register their powers and let the governments and Amando know, hey, we have powers. This is what the power is. You know, I don't know how strong it is, but it could get to this level, you know.
And they attacked. Don't test
me. Yeah, don't test me, because it could be bad.
You know?
Yep.
So magic.
Yep. So
have you met my dad? No, because he's dead. That's how strong I am.
That's how strong I am. But yeah, so like, that's how they are. And the crazy part is, like, they're still, you know, it's 2050. I mean, there's still going to be racism, but POM don't play that shit. They're like, you know, they will, because honestly, in a sense, it's going away. Most of the racist factions, and that's why I know a lot of people ask me, like, is there going to be racism in Sovereign Comics? You know, am I going to be hitting on those points? But the thing is, because of POM, the government wouldn't do it, so they did it. They wiped all racism out. The Aryan Nation, neo-Nazis, KKK, all those jokers are gone, because they were like, there's no need for you. You know, you are a rift in humanity. We do not need you. And they literally killed them all, wiped them all out. They killed all of them before they went after the people with powers.
Such an easy way, you know. And so many people in the storytelling right now, and Tyr and I have talked about it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, let's put all that stuff in there because I guess it's relevant and maybe people connect with it more. Tyr's like, I'm just going to kill them all first, and then we'll just deal with the other stuff.
Yeah, just deal with the other stuff. Yep, so they're all dead. I mean, you have, like, the underground factions and stuff like that, but they can't do anything. Not with POM there. They got to deal with POM and Cypher Team. They're just like, nope. No, thank you. You know, so there's POM. They're a threat to individuals with powers. So I guess the actual racism comes between that, Protectors of Mankind, and, you know, and the people with power. So there's that type of racism. And then you have the Angels of Anarchy, which they're scary, because the majority of that team used to be heroes and they all went bad, you know, because of the events that I mentioned earlier that happened 10 years ago. So they were pretty much like, and it was because of something that POM did. And they were like, well, I'm not going to protect individuals that aren't even trying to protect us. You know, they, you know, they see us, they kill us, they see us, they do this, you know, they don't want to protect us, so I'm not going to protect them. So then you have the Angels of Anarchy were born from that. And the reason why I say they're scary because they used to be heroes is because they know how heroes think, so they use that against them, you know, here and there. But right at the moment, you have Taro, Feline, Breather, Jin Lord, and Tracer, who are the five members of Angels of the five leads of Angels of Anarchy. There's many more, but they're the five leads. And then you have their overseer, Obsidian, who you'll see him in Cypher Team Issue 3. He's the one that everybody's, you know, all the stories are going to converge onto that. And I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to call that. I thought about calling it Obsidian Wars, but then I remember I had one called Zodiac Wars. So I'm like, I can't keep using wars. So I'm going to call
Obsidian
it
Obsidian Battle.
Yeah, Obsidian Battle. Yeah, Obsidian Skirmish. Skirmish. You know, so I'm going to come up with a title for that. You know, it's going to be a while before we get there, but when we get there, I'll have something. I might just call it Obsidian.
It'll be a kerfluffle.
Yeah, it'll be a kerfluffle.
The Obsidian kerfluffle.
The Obsidian
kerfluffle. Part now one of got three. My attention.
And the second one, the sequel, is called Double the Fluffle.
Double the Fluffle.
Double Fluffle.
Double Kerfluffle.
So, yeah, so there's, man, there's, they're the two main threats right now, which is, but I mean, there's other threats that are building too, you know.
Right.
You know, because like there's the magic group too, like a lot of them, a lot of the sorcerers and them, or the Magi is what I call them, you know, they kind of keep to themselves. Some of them have started sending
for like now.
Yeah, for now. You know, and some of them have started sending their kids
until your series, The Magic War, starts. The Magic Kerfluffle.
The Magic Kerfluffle. That'll probably be the best.
That's the B side to my album.
Yep, Magic Kerfluffle.
Yeah, the B side to the album.
Oh man, but yeah,
deep cuts and other kerfluffles. That's other kerfluffles. All right, so you said a couple minutes ago, so we're in your world, we're in 2050,
mm-hmm.
Which is current setting. What yep. technologies exist in this world?
Well, gasoline cars are a commodity. Not a commodity, that's the wrong word. They are they're vintage. So people have a gasoline car.
Bro, we're like 3 years away from that.
Yeah, for real. Like they it's because they got money. You know, so they were able to go and buy certain cars that they want. So, of course, you'll see individuals with money or power, you know, they might have a, you know.
It's Challenger.
Challenger, like not even a new one. Like they might have a freaking one from the 60s, you know what I'm saying? Like stuff like that. But pretty much all the vehicles are either electric or solar. Solar is one of the bigger pushes that they're on the step of now.
Right.
So everything went from gasoline to electric. And now in the universe, everything's moving to solar. To talk about one of the countries, Amonglo, which is the country where individuals who have powers, where they live, even normal humans live there too, because a lot of them moved there for jobs, or a lot of them moved there because they were married to a Phenosapien, or just moved there because they were like, I'm tired of America, or I'm tired of Japan, you know, so they moved there, you know. But there is a city there that I think the one title I was telling you about earlier that we're going to do. Where the city is very, very, very cyberpunk. So, like, there's going to be a cyberpunk city in the Silververse. But the dope thing about it is, like, you can, like, go into, you like, driving, like, these rural, you know, roads, like, in California or something like that, where the ocean's on the side and the mountains here. So you're driving those roads.
Right.
And then when you get to the city, the car slows down, and then the city takes over your vehicle and your car, you know, because in that city or in Amonla, they have actual flying cars. So like the city will take over your car, and then your car start flying through the city because the city's like New York times two as far as population.
So it's gonna go off the mountain. It's gonna be driving around the mountain and just go off a cliff. And it looks like it's falling, and then the next panel.
Yeah,
it's flying
just
into the
barrel roll. It comes back into the city. Woo. See, look, he's drawing it right now in the city.
Got it in my head.
I want you to do. I want that to be the cover whenever I use that. But yeah, they got like mag trains and stuff like that in Amonla. They have in America too. Like America's highly advanced. Like one of the cities that I built back up was Detroit.
Who is it?
That's Miss Jackson. We have
one. Sorry, Miss Jackson. We're busy. Oh,
my bad, Miss Jackson.
But one of the cities that I built back up was Detroit. And the cool thing about Detroit is
they're making cars again, you know.
No, they said cars, and they went to aircraft. Pretty much one of the things that they wanted to do with the electrical stuff is so, like, they started, they still have planes, like electrical planes, because Elon Musk made it happen, but they also did blimps.
Now, so, I was about to say it.
Yep.
They went crimson skies with it and did blimps.
So they have blimps and stuff like that that's like, that stay within America. So those would be like the short ones. And if you need to go across the, you know, across the ocean and stuff, you have a plane. So they have those, and a lot of countries have these blimps. So Detroit was like, you know, let's get a contract to build these blimps. So they started doing that. And then they also got a contract to actually build the electric planes and stuff like that. And actually, one of the things that kind of hit me when I really decided about that, because, you know, like we were talking about just constantly building the universe and stuff, I actually went to Detroit for Comic-Con, MechaCon, back in 2016. And when I landed in the airport and I went inside, I was like, holy shit, I'm like, this airport is freaking beautiful. And that's when the idea hit. And I was like, oh, what if I do that? And so that's how Detroit became this powerhouse city again, where they're manufacturing these, you know, highly advanced aircraft, you know, for the rest of the world. So, and nice. then there's also another city in America called North Star City, which has two nicknames. One of them is Glass City of Glass, and the other one is Sapphire City. Which you see that city in Cypher Team issue 1. The thing is like page 3. You'll see that city, and everything is just glass, you know, as far as the eye can see. So, nice.
Yeah. So, by the way, before we move on, for those that don't know, Crimson Skies was a game that was on the original Xbox. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful, fun game.
Yep.
And if you guys never played it,
yep,
you really missed out. Had a good storyline. Hey, it was fun. Anyway.
But then your Blockbuster video rental was up, and you had to take it.
Exactly.
Three days. Oh, yeah. 1 day.
Because Mama won't pay him for that 7.
Nah. She won't pay him for another one. Anyway, you guys,
game. You only got it for 24 hours.
If you ever feel
hours.
Retro, go back and get Crimson Skies. I think I still have a copy of it. Anyway.
Probably can get on the MLA.
So, we know you're galactic. You have series that are spread out. So what alien species exists? And are they humanoid, blended?
There are so many. A lot of them are humanoid. The Lapusians, they're humanoid, but of course they look like rabbits and stuff like that. And you'll meet them in Yamastigmata issue 2. Then there's another alien too who was the alien who was responsible for saving Tuskegee. So, in their race, I really haven't, because I've only showed him once, so I haven't really named his race. But there's a lot of different type of aliens. Like, you have Avian from Stars. She's an alien. And the crazy part with her too is like, her people are descendants of birds. So like her people are like, so you know how we evolved from the ape, they evolved from a bird. But owls and stuff like that is what they basically are. Yeah, exactly. So like, but her people have actually come to Earth before. And I know there's a certain mythos in Earth culture, which is what I got the idea from, you know, dealing with the owl. And so like her people were what the humans were talking about. They actually came to Earth. And then there's a lot of aliens. There's a lot of aliens who I haven't even figured out yet. There's aliens that I've drawn and haven't given names to. Like there, we have like our own type of, almost our own Ferengi in there. Like there's this one alien species where only thing they do is business, and they're always scavenging and selling and stuff like that, and finding moons and stuff that have like jewels there, anything, you know, things that they can make money off of, and they're always, you know, that's just their thing. And you actually see them in the Yamastigmata issue 2 also in a club scene, because these three own a club. And you see them because they look exactly the same, you know, and you'll see them. We really are going to start, like, as the Yamastigmata goes on more, we're really going to dive more into the aliens. And another title, the Blue Fire Guardians, we're actually going to dive more into the aliens too, because of, you know, what they do.
Right.
Because they kind of protect the entire universe, but they also protect different realms and different dimensions and things of that sort too. But there's a lot. There's so many. Like I have actually, hold on, let me go to my OneNote. But yeah, there's a lot. I have some of the names in my OneNote. Like I think one of the aliens races that I like the most, I call them the Empyreans, and they are really huge. They look just like us. This idea came to me when I was deployed, actually, with one of our friends, Mahoney. We used to always joke around because, you know, when you ask somebody something, you're like, they made me do it, or them, or it was, you know, they never tell you who, they just say them or they. So we made it like them or they was like this super secret shadowy organization, and we would joke about that. But the idea came from that. I was like, man, kind of dope if I had like these aliens who have been here on Earth for the longest and they've just been running things from the background. So that's what the Empyreans are. That wasn't their original idea, what they really wanted to do. The woman who brought them to Earth, she was a science officer. She came to Earth to see it, and she kind of fell in love with Earth because she was like, wow, these people have, you know, they just live each day to the fullest, you know, like they seem like they have no cares. Because on her planet, they're not allowed to show emotion. Like if you show emotion, you're not allowed to be at a bar and kiss your girlfriend. You better take that shit home. Like, it's like, so they, you know, like they don't, right? they don't play at all, you know? And also on their home, they wear these masks. So everybody has their own individual mask that fits them. And in the middle part,
I feel very connected to those.
Yeah. In the middle part is cut open, and that's where their third eye is at. So they have their third eye open, and their two eyes here are covered by the mask, and there's just, you can just see from the third eye. So like they have like
no Cyclops.
Yep, pretty much. Like they have no emotions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the Cyclops mythos actually came from them. When we started seeing Cyclops on Earth, it's because we saw them and their mask and their third eye is activated. So we one-eyed Cyclops, you know. But the cool part is when they came to Earth, they were like, we're just going to blend in. We'll only help them if they need us to help. We'll stop anything that's going to try to destroy the planet. So
they all wear bandanas and headbands.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, is like when they came.
And they here, wouldn't be able to see. Yeah, that's exactly. The only eye.
Exactly.
You know? No, they have three.
You have three eyes.
Yeah, but they're covered up, right?
No, I'm saying when they came to
covered.
Earth.
Yeah, these two are covered.
Earth, they wanted to blend in. So they just.
They walk around with no eyes or face.
They're like the girls from the 70s. They just all had headbands on.
That was all of
them. Tied around.
That was all of them. If you saw a girl with a bandana, she's probably an Empyrean.
But Empyreans just want to have fun.
That's it. But like when they take off the
free
mask.
Free love, man.
But the cool part is when they take off the mask and open their two eyes, the third one will close. So unless they want to keep it open. But so when they came here, you know, she pretty much told them, hey, third eyes, none of that. They're going to freaking flip out if they see, you know, people walking around with three eyes and stuff. So
I mean, like I said, would.
But she had a son, and her son was like, you know, he opened up his third eye when no one else could anymore because they were here for so long that it got to the point where nobody could do it anymore. So he opened up his, and every time, you know, with their third eye, they have powers that work for them. So he was like, you know, why are we sitting here helping these humans when we could be controlling these humans? And
I think that all the time.
Like, exactly. Right. Me too. He's like, we can bend them to our will, make them destroy things, and then we can take over, you know, which was his thing.
Changing the show to the villain cast.
I know, right? And then when he did that, he sent his mother he sent his mother back into space. And then there was this family that pretty much becomes superheroes, and I'm bringing that title out a little later. It's gonna be called Godlike. But they're actually fighting back, and they managed to open their third eye, but none of the other Empyreans can, at least what they're thinking. But I think a lot of what I'm going to have is a couple of them are going to start being able to open them back up. But yeah, he started doing shadowy shit. So like a lot of them,
that series The Awakening.
I should.
It's gonna be what that saga is.
Yep. Yep.
Awakening Wars.
Yep.
Godlike Empyreon. The Awakening Kerfluffle.
The Awakening Kerfluffle. But like when a lot of the bad crap was happening, like wars and just crap that probably could have been fixed just for talking with each other, it was because freaking asshole was pulling the strings in the back, you know, just to make things make things.
Oh, girlfriend. His liking. Oh, yeah. You're right.
The son. Yeah. So.
You're right. Yeah. Yep.
He was pulling things in the background.
Thought you were talking about girlfriends. That's when the stuff goes down, man. Pulling strings from the back. I don't think you should talk to him anymore.
You're right.
Yep.
All right. So, where does your story, or I guess any elements of it, where do you pull your influences from, as far as, you know, stuff that you look at outside, even like way back when you started everything?
A lot of different places. One of the heavier places is anime and manga, mainly. And it's mainly because I love their stories, the way they do things. Like, they do stories, and once that story's over, it's over.
68 episodes versus one villain.
Exactly, you know, and they'll tell it, and they'll have the main thing that I love about it is they'll have this character, and the character doesn't, you know, I have power, except for One Punch Man. He's like the only one. But, you know, I have powers, and they're just kicking ass from episode one all the way to the end. I used to be real big into Bleach. So I really enjoyed what they did with Bleach. Like, Ichigo got killed so many times. And I was like, he got brought back too, but I'm like, that makes sense. You're going up against somebody more powerful than you. You shouldn't be able to just go and whoop their ass. You know, you're going to have to level up. And that's one of the things that I kind of did not like about American comics, is because they have a person who just got powers. They have powers for, you know, 2.5 minutes, and all of a sudden they're slapping Magneto around. And it's like, how? How? You just got powers. You know, just, you know, it's like, how? How are you doing? They'll get a new Flash character, you know, new character with super speed.
Is manga written more as a video game?
Manga?
Where the character pretty much levels up and has to evolve. Yep. Is that more?
It's a good comparison.
That's a good comparison, honestly. Okay. Tell you the truth, like a RPG almost.
Right.
That's kind of how their stories go.
Oh, okay.
Because like you start at level one, you
get. I put all these skill points into my fist.
Exactly. Even One Punch Man. Like, if you think about it, that's how his was. Like, his was kind of like that too. Even though he was super strong already, as soon as we met him. But he'll tell you, like, I did 1,000, what do you say? I did 1,000 push-ups and 1,000 squats and 1,000 crunches. And I think he ran like 10 miles every day. And that's how he got so strong. It was something wild, you know. But like you said, skill points. He was putting skill points in each area, you know. And the funny part is they do a lot of that in manga. Like, they actually have some mangas where it's literally an RPG, you know, and that's the whole story.
Right.
You know, right. So. But yeah, that was one of the things that I took. And of course, like with America, you know, we love superheroes and stuff like that. So I looked at the superheroes that we have, but I wanted to make things different. I wanted to make them more, not so fantastical, because that's one of the reasons why I think DC has so many issues with creating movies, is because people see Batman, and then as soon as Batman shoots somebody or kills somebody, Batman doesn't do that, because everybody remembers Batman the Animated Series, where he never did that. But no one remembers Burton, where he was throwing people down holes and dropping bombs on them, you know, and shooting missiles from the back.
You don't know that killed him, though.
No, that was just like a...
He's just sleeping.
It was a
sleepy glass bomb, you know, or if we go way back, you know, the first Batman who carried 245s, that's where... And for everybody who don't know this, that's where Earth 2 Batman came from.
I mean, for like one issue.
Yeah, you know. And then there was the one
that doesn't count, man. This doesn't count.
Was it? I don't think it was the Joker that he killed.
It was
just a mob boss. Was it where he flew around in his Batcopter and had him hanging from it? Or was that
No. I thought you were talking about like when he killed the Joker.
Yeah, he did kill the Joker.
The Joker was supposed to be just a one and done.
Yeah.
Villain of the week or whatever.
Yep, and he killed him. You hear that, y'all out there who said Batman doesn't kill? He killed the Joker, and they brought the Joker back. Which, that's the reason why I said it made sense for them to have like the three Joker thing that they started doing. Because I was like, if you actually start kind of playing off of that and the lore from the beginning all the way in, it kind of makes sense. But that was one of the things that I didn't want to have issues with. Like, I didn't want it to where, if I ever got to the point where I was optioned for a movie.
Don't be that guy.
It wouldn't be hard to do. You know, like, if if Sanjera cuts off someone's head, people are going to be like, oh, she did that in the comics. You know, it will make sense, you know. So with my heroes, like, the only ones that I would say I have who are actually heroes is Stars. They're literally the only title I have where they're going to try to talk to you. You know, they're going to fight you, but they're going to be like, hey, you can change. Like, chill out. But
Tears set the precedence, and I'm over here like, I would troll people just for the fun of it. You know what? When they make Tilt a movie, guess what? Tilt's the villain, Talon's the hero.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Flip the script.
Do it. Yep. Do it. But yeah, that's the phase that I was thinking about, because I was like, I don't want to have that argument, you know. And I kind of had it too. Like, one person was like, well, why does she have a sword if she's a hero? I was like, she's an assassin. She kills people. That's why she has a sword.
I had somebody ask me that about Cindy. Because she has that laser sword or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's why I explained it in the next one. I was like, oh, no, that like literally just shocks people, or she can use it as a whip.
Mm-hmm. Which is dope. Like, for me, like, I had to, like, with Kunoichi, like, even with that, right, with Kunoichi, like, I gave her the sword, and I was like, man, she's going to be using this thing all of the time. And then, like, with anything, the universe starts building itself. I start, like, I have minerals in my universe, too. Like, there's certain minerals that came from the sky, minerals kryptonite, you know, like, I have Uru metals, I got all sorts of minerals. But like with her sword is a certain,
you get the sleepy rocks that fall from the sky.
Exactly. See,
I feel you get it. Tired. You get it.
It's that rock. It's my weakness. But
these ones make special brownies. All the minerals. Hey, man, give me my minerals.
But like with her, like, her sword is made from a rock that came from space through a meteor. But it can go through the three stages. So, like, if you know katanas, like, a lot of people just know katanas, but there's also the tonto and the wakizashi. Well, yeah,
bless you.
Yeah, I know, right? Thank you. So there's like, it's just three different sizes. So like, one's like that big, and then it gets bigger, and then it gets bigger. Yep. And her sword can go through all three of those stages because of the metal that it's made out of. And of course, she has to send electricity through it to make it go through those stages. But she never pulls it because it's incredibly powerful. So like, she just really just wears it until she
uses it as a threat. Don't make me pull this thing up.
Pretty much. And I think it's going to be issue three or issue four. I haven't decided yet, because you know how it is when you're writing. You're like, you have plans. But once you start writing, you're like, just put that in issue four. That's not going to work in here. So I'll see which issue is going to go into. But there will be a part where she goes to pull it, and the sky just starts turning black, and lightning just starts striking and stuff, because that sword is no joke. Her family has two of them. She can't find the other one, but they call it pretty much. I think it's.
Oh, but yeah, when she does,
that's it.
That's where she dies at the end. That's where I'm telling you right now. That's when she does the ultimate strike. That's when your biggest intergalactic villain, and the only way that she can defeat it, she has to get the other sword, sacrifice herself. I wrote it. It's done. You can have it.
We all hear that. She's a fan favorite, so a lot of people are probably going to be angry with
her. I'm telling you, because
why it makes it better. You're killing off a fan favorite.
Yep.
I know. It matters. It makes it matter.
I've
told people before, in Catalyst Comics, don't think people are safe. Like, quit thinking that.
Oh, yeah.
Just give me a little time.
Yep, pretty
much.
Time,
money, and somebody going
to
die.
Exactly. That's how I do it, too. Like, there's going to be people that die. People you weren't even expecting to die. Like, there's going to be students that you're going to meet in Temple High who are going to die.
I know. You know, so we've discussed this. I keep telling him he needs to have a character just random pointless death.
Yeah.
Just for no reason.
And I'm going to do that, too. I'm seriously going to do that, because that's just hilarious. I'm about to do it like Marvel does, you know, have it very, very, very heavy, and then all of a sudden, you know, just somebody.
You're
just
the only one that can handle this threat. Oh,
oh my God! They killed Kenny. Okay, so anyway,
all right, that is pretty much all the questions I had listed out. Mm-hmm. I know it's not a campaign show, but you have one coming up, so I'm gonna at least let you tell everybody about
it. Make it quick, but don't. We ain't got time for it. We just want to hear about your universe.
Dang, man.
Straight to I don't always say it because it's tier.
Straight to the point. So Psycho Team issue 2. That Kickstarter is, it was going to be on the 1st, but I decided to push it to the 5th because I want to, not 5th, I'm sorry, but the 15th, because I actually want to send out more packages before I get it going. Like, I was just thinking about that yesterday. I'm like, you know what? I want to send out more packages because all the digital rewards are sent. So for everybody who was like digital tier and that's it, they're good to go. But I want to send out some of those physical rewards first before I launch the second Kickstarter. So at least people get a chance to read it a little bit. And then when they see it, they're like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going back. I'm going to see what happens next, you know. So
yeah, y'all, y'all got to help with this. It's going to be a $1 campaign goal.
I decided to go lower than 100 this time. Yes. So it's only going to be $1. And I'm trying to reach $10,000.
Hoping to do it at the on the first day.
Yep, I want to do it within the first 30 seconds of launch. We hit $1.
How sad would that be if you didn't?
I know, right? That, man,
like, that's it.
That'd be the end of the Sovereign Comics universe.
For real. Like, if I went 30 days without making a dollar, I would quit. Like, I would cuss out all my. I would cuss
I
out
feel
all
like,
my. I'd be like, you guys like are fans and couldn't give me a dollar.
Yeah, thanks a lot, fans.
Thanks a lot, fans. But
I got you, bro. Don't worry about it. We're going to get you over that $1 hump.
I'm going to double your goal.
You're going to give me $2? That's what I'm talking about. I would quadruple my goal, but I can't Kickstarter or stop it if I did that. But actually, this time I've raised it to 2,000.
Yeah. Got time to start going up.
Start going up, you know, because one of my friends pointed out something to me, and she was like, and what she said kind of made sense. She was like, you know, she's like, I think that you're not making as much as you could because people probably see it and see that you have like this $500 goal and they're just like, he doesn't need my help. I was like,
yes, I don't know. I just think it depends on the project.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think a lot of
people that have $1,000 goals and then they'll make 12,000 because they like the project.
Yeah. Yeah. So like for me, I'm just looking at it. I'm hoping like with this show, I want to reiterate, Cypher Team is not a superhero team because I think a lot of people look at it and they see them like, oh, it's superheroes. Yeah, they're not. Yeah. They're going to start killing people soon. Like, I promise you, they're going to start killing people soon.
And Tilt's going to have to show up and be like, look, y'all, calm down a little bit.
Yeah, calm down. They're going to make his guest appearance that I can't be killing
here's
that
a sandwich.
Much.
Eat at least a sandwich.
Yep.
If y'all need me, I'll be on that plane.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I brought the sandwich on the plane with me. Eat the sandwich. But yeah, so it's going to. Like I said, one of the things I do want to do, since they are a Special Forces team, I do want to have a saga where they actually go on like a Special Forces type mission, you know? It would only make sense to do that, you know? So I do plan on doing one like that instead of just having them always fighting the big bad of the week and stuff like that. I do want to have an issue where they actually go on a mission, you know, and then go through all the movements of the mission and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's I know when I do that one, that's when they're definitely gonna be killing people, like, like for real. So yeah,
just all the red.
Yep. Yeah, I'm like this. Like, if you really want superheroes, Stars is the title you want. The rest, Temple High, they're just kids. Arisha Exos, those are mech battles. Yabo Stigmata, they're bounty hunters. Like I said, Stars is more of the heroes. Cypher Team is a Special Forces unit. Stop is a government-funded Black Ops unit. So, I mean...
When's that one coming out?
What's that? Stop? This year. We're going to start working on it probably in May, I think, is when I want to start working
Matt, on it. Matt, I told Tier I was going to work on Go for him.
Go.
Yeah, as well you should.
We have Stop and Go? Stop and Go. That'd be dope.
The crossover is called Stop and Go.
Yep. See, it's like it writes itself.
God, come on. Is this thing on?
No, it's right. Not.
That was going to be dope, too. That was going to be dope.
So make sure you guys are checking out all of Tier stuff. Put the link up here at some point. Just scroll up. But you guys that are listening to this as a podcast, I'll put it in the show notes. So make sure you check out the show notes that probably nobody ever looks at when you listen to a podcast. But there's links in there that you can click on and stuff.
What?
Tier, we appreciate you. We appreciate you coming on, man, and being the first guest.
Yeah. It's an honor.
On IYW.
It's an honor. It's another.
It's your world, man. We just get to live in it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the honor of getting up here to talk about the Silverse a little more. And like even the stuff then, like we would need hours for me to really like
tell you. I know. That's why I was like, I'm gonna try to start making it like an hour 15 is good. Like that, you know.
Yeah. I think the point of the show is the fact that you jump on a show and talk more about it for more than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And give more than the elevator pitch and actually get in depth. Yep. And that's what we care about. We want to know more because that brings everybody into being more interested in exactly what you're doing and all the things that you're going to be
working on. Well, the universe of books that the stories are set in, you know, rather than, like Matt said, you know, 15 minutes, if that, on a show with 8 other people who are pitching Kickstarters.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a new show for us. It's a new way to think about things. I don't know any other shows that are kind of doing this where it's just about having one creator on talking about the background of their universes and stuff. So hopefully you guys vibe with it, and hopefully you guys will download the podcast as well. And that'll be just on the Beards and Comics podcast. It's just going to be titled IYW Episode 1. And that'll come out in a couple days. But we appreciate you guys, and we thank you for supporting us. Make sure you check out the other stuff we have going on. So this will be the first or the last Monday of every month will be IYW, and then the last Friday of every month will be the Welcome to the Detox. So make sure you guys check out Welcome to the Detox on Instagram. When you see Instagram little icon on the top, and it's the Sovereign Comics, it goes and you see it says live, and then you see like a little picture with Aaron in it, and it says live, and then you see another one that says Matt, and it says live, and they're all overlapping. That's when you know. It's time to detox.
It's time to detox. It's gonna be crazy.
Come talk crap with us.
Yeah. Yep. We're gonna be talking all sorts of crap about this industry.
I love it. All right, so make sure you guys check out the ICD Kickstarter that's coming up as well. Make sure you hit the little notification button. Make sure you check out buymeacoffee.com/beardsandcomics. We do have a goal on there. You guys can go look at what it's for. Trying to get some internet run, so we need help.
Oh, that's probably gonna be run to we got office. Yeah, that's gonna be
All right. Please so
that. I'm gonna buy you a coffee. Just
help for that. That's so sweet. We appreciate you guys, and we hope to see you next time. Make sure you check out the regular Beards and Comics podcast every Thursday. This Thursday, completely different format. We're gonna start. We finally explained to you guys what's happening with Beards and Comics. We've said that we're changing it up, and we promise we are. So now we're going to let you guys into what's going on. So that's it for now. Matt, any last words?
Nope. I'm good. Thanks. Best co-host award.
Goes to Matt.
Anyway, we'll be interviewing for new co-hosts within the next couple of weeks. We appreciate it.
Good. I can draw some comics again.